The rumor of Frosty's had throat surgery since that last race, that was the big problem. And you know,
it's a good angle.
So, first off, a surgery. Off surgery. I mean, yeah. I don't know.
Racing dudes named Aaron and Jared who had advice on racing and they wanted to share it. Started a website where players go to see all their picks. The goal was make the fans some money and to cut down the risk. They put the plan into motion and at first it seemed silly. Make a website where the expert picks are freer than Willie. From a racetrack veteran to just a beginner. There's one place that you want to go to find you a winner. As a matter of fact, I want to hit the exacta. There's only one site that you'll keep coming back to. So next time that the horses all line up at the post, make sure you use the website that'll win you the most. Whether Churchill, Oaklawn, Gulfstream Park, Saratoga, and all tracks in between, there's only one site to go to. When it comes to your racing needs and all of your bets, plus it's got a catchy name that no one ever forgets. RacingDudes.com for all of your needs. RacingDudes.com for all of your leads. RacingDudes.com for all of your bets. RacingDudes.com, as good as it gets. RacingDudes.com for all of your needs. RacingDudes.com for all of your leads. RacingDudes.com for all of your bets. RacingDudes.com, as good as it gets.
What's going on? I'm Jared Welch. He's Aaron Halterman. This is Blinkers Off. How's it going?
It's going well. We survived last weekend. We're back for more. That's always good.
We survived, and not only did we survive, but I mean, it's getting worse.
What do you mean it's getting worse?
I'm saying the racing's getting worse. I mean, we have even more to talk about, even more to more coverage.
You mean it's getting better?
Well, it depends how you look at it.
Yeah.
I know last Saturday was literally a marathon. Up at 7. I mean, I literally watched racing for like 12 hours straight.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually hit the wall. Like, and I think you tweeted it. You hit the wall like right after like the Santa Anita race. It's like, wow, I can't take it anymore.
Yep.
Yeah, so I for the first time in a long time, I didn't watch Charlestown. I didn't watch Mountaineer that night. I'd already done it with Dubai. I was done.
Well, you know me. I hit a wall at that time, and I was like dozing off, and But then I re-rallied, and I was up. Really? I was up after, you know, 9, 10 o'clock, and I felt good.
Wow. So. Well, you're a beast. I'm not, so.
Of course, it didn't you know, it's like you want to start drinking, but then it actually made it worse because, you know, like you don't drink enough.
Yeah, you get a headache, and you just go to bed.
You're ready to sleep. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. I think I definitely was an amateur. It was an amateur hour that night for me trying to kind of recover after a long day.
Right. Well, it was a long day, but it was a good day. I mean, Dubai was disappointing for some, I guess, but I really wasn't. We got a win in one of the races with Secret Circle and California Chrome and Lee both ran good. So
yeah, and we got I think, you know, one of the better Derby prospects we've had in a long time come out of Dubai. You know, typically they don't even mess with coming.
Right.
This one said before the race, if it happens, I'm coming. They completely romp in the race in the UAE Derby, and now they're coming, and you know what, he looks like a pretty decent horse. I mean, yeah. I'm not saying, you know, we know Dubai horses don't win the Kentucky Derby, but you know, this one's got a chance to make a little noise, I think.
Yeah, Mupajiv, I guess is how you say that
I
horse.
Call it the Dubai horse.
The Dubai horse.
That's easier for me to pronounce.
Either way, he looked really good, and while you're talking about the connections and how excited they were, which was great, the other thing that was great about Dubai, the coverage was just unbelievable. And that's how horse racing needs to be presented everywhere.
The angles, the camera. I mean, Kelsey, the dudette here, we were watching it after she got up, you know, toward the later races. I was like, you have to see this. And she even said, why do they not do this here? And I said, it's so cool. You know, how you get, I mean, you can see the hairs on the back of a horse on the back stretch.
Mm-hmm.
In America, you have blind spots. It's like, oh, what happened? You know, they're behind the sign or something. You know,
right? Well, you get a lot of depth of what it looked like. You know, on the backstretch, and you get a lot of the jockey aspect of it. You can see exactly what they're doing
when a horse is starting to move. If it's not moving, if there's traffic issue, I mean, it makes it so much better. Not to go off a tangent here, but it makes that kind of style of camera work. Makes live wagering for horse racing at least a possibility, I think. I mean, it's way down the road. But if you have those kind of camera angles, you could actually live bet a horse race. Those longer distance ones, for sure.
I would think, but, you know, what do we know?
What do we know? You know, we're behind time, so we'll just stick with the standard camera. Not high def, of course.
No.
And we'll just stick with the, you know, standard. Yeah. What happened? I can't see. Oh, wait, there they are. Here they come down the stretch. Oh, it looks weird because I can't tell who's in first. You know, we'll stick with that. It works.
Yeah.
But not to let's get on a little more positive note. This weekend, Santa Anita Derby, Bluegrass, Wood Memorial, three huge major prep races, and this is it. I mean, here we go this week, and then next week we have the Arkansas Derby, and that's it.
That's it.
I mean, that's the there's your prep races. It's mm-hmm. over. So we are really couldn't be any further down into you know, it's serious time for these horses, especially the ones that need to get in.
It really has come down to with these last ones, can anybody kind of pull an upset, because you've got such headliners, and we'll get into it later, but can anybody beat Carpe Diem? Can anybody beat Dortmund? I think that's the headline, really, of and then American Pharoah next week. So that's the things to look for.
And I mean, El Kabir is ranked, you know, as far as points goes, the top of right there at the top of the list. So he runs in the Wood, and shockingly, the third favorite in that race, which we'll get to that. It's unbelievable. But yeah, so you have the top, you know, the heavy hitters all racing in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
And you might, you know, this is a distance you always talk about, the mile and eighth. This is the first time for these horses getting to a mile and eighth, and it really separates the true contenders to the non. And, you know, a horse like Dortmund, or Carpe Diem for that matter, if they mm-hmm. seem to struggle a little bit, it definitely, you know, they're still in the Derby, obviously. They're still running the Derby, but it definitely sheds light on what they can do going further.
Best example of what you're saying, real quick, before we start. Uncle Mo, everybody kind of thought a mile and a quarter, maybe not. And then there were some that were saying, oh, he could get it, no problem. He ran the mile and eighth in the Wood. We both looked at, he won the race, by the way, by three or four lengths. We looked at each other and said, he has no chance in the Derby, just because he was dead.
Yep.
And he never looked dead at a mile and 16th, but you get him on that mile and eighth. I'm telling you, I don't know what it is about that extra 16th. It makes a huge difference. So that's definitely something we got to look for.
All right. So, yeah, we're going to preview the final Kentucky Derby prep races. Like we said, the Santa Anita Derby at Santa Anita, the Grade 1 Bluegrass from Keeneland. Keeneland starts up tomorrow, which mm-hmm. is Friday. Can't wait. The Grade 1 Wood Memorial from Aqueduct. And we're going to play it again. If such a big hit, we had such a good response from the fans, the new hit game show, What's the Jockey Saying?
I did so good last time that I'm back.
We invited you back.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
The producers and I, we talked, and we weren't for sure because, you know, you weren't the greatest guest, but you did win, so we're going to bring you back.
Thank you.
All right, let's not waste any more time. Let's do it. Santa Anita Park, let's kick it off there. Start with race 7. We're going to cover graded stakes races. The 13 graded stakes races we're going to cover on this podcast, of course, including the three major prep races. But these, I mean, it's loaded, especially when you get to Keeneland. You have, it's almost grade 1 after grade 1. Mm-hmm. The, you know, and hell, at the Aqueduct, it's, you know, the Wood is not even the... the Carter's after the Wood.
Right, so, not even like the feature race.
It's so weird to think of that. Like, you know, you have the Wood, it's all over. It's like, oh, wait, no, you have another grade one, the Carter.
Yeah.
So it's loaded. This podcast is loaded with races. And we're going to start with race 7 at Santa Anita, the Santa Anita Oaks. It's a grade one for $400,000. Phillies, three-year-olds going to mile 16th. Again, this is the race for the Oaks. I mean, this is the prep race, final prep races for the Oaks as well. So we talked Derby, we know we go heavily into Derby, but this is the final
mm-hmm.
For that one as well. So, field of eight, small field, and Stellar Wind, 8-9-5 favorite, number 6, and then number 5, Luminance, for out of the Baffert Barn, 5-2 morning line. Who you like?
Well, I love that we're starting with this race, because this is one that I'm looking forward to about as much as any, because I think the Kentucky Oaks winner is in this race. That's number 5, Luminance. This horse, if people have kind of forgotten about her, she broke her maiden at Del Mar this summer and has been off ever since until about 3 or 4 weeks ago when she ran an allowance. And you could tell she wasn't quite ready for the race, but ran so great. She was the power play of the day that day and got up and won by a nose at odds of 3-2. And I just thought, wow, she is all class, and she's going to be a lot sharper for that next race, which happens to be the Santa Anita Oaks. I think this is Bob Baffert's, definitely his Oaks filly, and I don't know. I just love her. I loved her That maiden race was so good. She was a huge hype horse that day at Del Mar. So I'm all about her. I think 5-2, I'm praying that we get it. Now, I do think Wild at Heart is the other horse that is going to be pretty tough here. And why do I think that? Well, she almost beat Luminance.
Right.
You know, that was the horse that she nosed out. And they had quite a battle that day. She's 8-1. Luminance is 5-2. So if you want to take a shot there with that 8-1, I don't blame you. And then two other horses I'll mention. Number one, Light the City for Jerry Hollendorfer. That's who I would probably rank third. Just classy. Always shows up, runs a nice race. Another one I've liked ever since a two-year-old, really. So I like her. And then Curlin's Fox. That horse has also had a lot of hype. Has been on the turf a couple times.
Making debut on the dirt here.
And you would think that makes a little bit of sense. Although she's ran very strong on the turf in her two races, maybe the dirt puts her to a whole nother level. So that's the four, but Luminance, that's the one I will be betting to win.
Well, talking about Curlin, I actually am going with the Curlin filly, but it's not that one. It's number six, Stellar Wind, the morning line favorite, Espinoza on board. We know Espinoza's riding well.
Mm-hmm.
Winner of two in a row, including the grade three last time out at Santa Anita in February, or end of February, so let's call it early March. She's done nothing wrong and ran a huge race last time, rallied, and came up there to win in the prior race before the maiden race, won by 8 lengths. I mean, she has done nothing wrong, and it's like I like Curlin's Fox, but I thought, you know, coming off the turf, you never know. Plus, you got John Sadler with a Stellar Win, mm-hmm. definitely Victor Espinoza. When it comes to picking a Curlin horse, I like this one a little bit better. You know, there's nothing I can really, you know, beat the several in this race today, or I guess Saturday. Beat him last time by 2.5 lengths, so he's 2.75 lengths. I definitely think Luminance is the one to beat. I think she definitely has a higher upside.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Stellar Wind is running maybe a little bit smoother right now. So that's kind of the difference, I think, in the two horses, but I definitely would play both of these in any kind of pick fours. But I noticed you didn't even pick Stellar Wind, not even top four.
No, and here's why. I think she's really good, but morning line 9-5, and I think she'll be every bit of that. I think, you know, that she'll be bet down pretty decent. And I just think there's four other ones there that could turn the tables on her at better prices. It's not that I don't like Stellar Wind. Any horse that has the name Curlin by it, you know, I will root for it. I'll love if she wins. That's fine. That's why.
But couldn't you see Luminance getting bet pretty heavy too? Just because it's bad for it and it's probably going to be a lot of hype as well. So you could see Stellar Wind and Luminance going off at pretty similar prices.
You know, when I saw the morning line, for me to be a critic of John White's hilarious. But when I saw it, I thought they could probably be flip-flopped. I do think Luminance will go off as the favorite. Yeah.
So, you know, I could see, I mean, it's at that price. If you get Stellar Wind of 5-2, I could definitely be on board with that, considering, you know, ran the distance last time, won mm-hmm. easily. I definitely think she's going to be a factor in the race. That's my pick, but I definitely would not play one without the other and vice versa.
Right.
All right, let's move on to the Santa Anita Derby. Grade one, of course, and this is for your three-year-olds. This is, like we talked about, this is it. This is the final derby prep race for these California horses. Worth $1 million. It's going a mile and eighth, so here we go. Mile and eighth, and Dortmund, number one, draws the inside rail, which is 6-horse field. Let's not get crazy. It doesn't matter. 3-5 morning line favorite. I mean, that's pretty deservingly, I guess. 7-2 on Prospect Park. And then you go Bolo's 4-1. And then One Lucky Dane, also out of the Baffert Barn, 5-1. So Dortmund goes for the sweep. Dortmund has not been beat. Can Dortmund be undefeated going to the Kentucky Derby?
I think he's going to, and I know you're going to talk about maybe how you don't think he could get the distance. You've talked about that really for a couple, 3 or 4 weeks now. But I think he can, and that's who I'm going with. Now, I do think Prospect Park is a dangerous play here. Last time out, ran a strong second. Looks like the distance isn't going to be much of a problem for him. So he's definitely one to look at. And I do think it's a 3-horse race. I think Bolo's the other horse. These are the top three finishers of the San Felipe that was ran last time. And Bolo, yeah, maybe he's still better on the turf than the dirt. But it was a nice showing from him last time. He was right there in the mix to try to get second. But to me, I pick Dortmund every time. I'm going to do it again. And
you got to stay on him, man. You like him, so.
I've liked him from the beginning, yeah. And I'm not going to jump off of him. And yeah, those two horses did finish a good second and third. But guess what? They really weren't making up ground on Dortmund. I didn't think anyway. So well,
Dortmund's got so much, you know, fight down the stretch. Mm-hmm. You know, he's proven that. You know, Fireline, who came back to be a really nice horse, you know, last time in Sunland, Fireline looked like the horse that was going to win that race, Robert B. Lewis, and, you know, Dortmund re-rallied, and kind of did something similar. You know, it was a pretty decently close race last time with, you know, the Prospect Park and Bolo, and he just kind of zipped on by. So
pulled away a little easier, I thought.
You can't doubt, I mean, he seems like he's getting better, and I realize, Big Brett, you guys are going to listen, you know, Big Brown. I mean, every sign on here shows that he shouldn't have a issue with the distance.
Mm-hmm.
But I still want to stick by it and think I just don't see him. Like, you asked me a couple weeks ago, you know, who I could see finishing off the board in the Kentucky Derby.
As far as the top ones,
and I said it was him. I mean, they're going to look like a genius or look like an idiot in a couple weeks, but I'm sticking by it. Now, number two, One Lucky Dane. We talked about this prior to the show, coming off a huge 80K allowance race, winning by 10 lengths. Definitely step up, but I'd say it deserves to be a shot here. Here's kind of the conspiracy theory that I gave you earlier. Baffert, Dortmund has no... I mean, he has two horses in here.
Mm-hmm.
Dortmund doesn't need anything out of this race other than just to kind of get his legs moving and get ready for the Kentucky Derby. There will be some whatever you want to call it, some race riding. There will be some, right. They'll have a little talk before, and you have Bariano on one and Garcia on the other, two jockeys that ride for him all the time.
Yep.
There will be some talking to make sure one Lucky Dane, of course, it's only six horse field. I mean, all you do is finish third and you're in the Derby.
Yeah.
Baffert wants one more in there. I think there's going to be a little bit of race riding to get him in. This horse tends to be on the lead pretty heavily, so I could see them saying, you know, to Dortmund, don't make, you know, Garcia, don't push it, you know, set off of him a little bit and see how long he can go. So I definitely see one Lucky Dane finishing. I think Baffert probably finishes top three for sure, but the horse is going to beat him is Prospect Park. That's my pick. Kent DeSormo obviously riding again. You know, sometimes you have that fear of that horse that made a really good closing, and it's kind of misleading sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that one is misleading because his two races prior were very good races as well, coming off the pace. I think Prospect Park is a very good horse, and I see quite a bit of speed in here, just like I mentioned earlier with the two Baffert horses. I think Prospect Park could be a horse that could finish, you know, pick up the pieces. Now, you have the worry, is Dortmund going to be just good enough to still put him away? I don't know. Mile and an eighth tells me I feel a little bit better. I think the distance might be okay with Prospect Park. So I think he's a pick here that is worth playing, and especially Dortmund at a short price.
You know, I agree. He's definitely my second choice. We'll see. I can't quite get there with him. Like, I really like him. He's a fringe top, you know, 10, 12 horse. I can't get over that next hump with him, though. And maybe he'll prove it to
me. We need to see a really nice closing.
Yeah.
And then...
Win.
Win, yeah. Obviously. Win well.
Yeah.
All right. Race 9 program, the Providencia Stakes Grade 3. $150,000 for Philly's three-year-olds going a mile and eighth on the turf. And here we go. Field of 13 shows up for this one, and dude, it is just packed full. 7-2, very soft morning line favorite. Mm-hmm. Prize exhibit, risen by Espinoza, trained by Cassidy. And then, yeah, 4-1 on Intrat. I don't know, let's call it that. But that should tell you, this race is wide open.
You know, this is a... I'm going to go with two horses that are probably not going to win, but
I like that.
It's so wide open that I am not going to take any sort of the chalk. I'm going back to a horse that pulled a big upset for me last summer at Del Mar. Number two, Old Fashioned Gal. This horse, listen, I picked her at nice odds at Del Mar. I think she was like 21-1. She won the race.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming right back. I know last time out was not the greatest race in the world. I know that Cassie has two in here, and Mike Smith has chose to ride another one other than this one. I know signs aren't good, but guess what? I'm still going to take a shot with her. So I'm going to take a swing with her. And then another, this is a real old friend of mine, number 11, Lady Zuzu, who used to be with the coach. And for whatever reason, they tried dirt last time. That was in that really tough race with Luminance and stuff, you know, all
Wild
those.
At Heart.
And, yeah. Wild at Heart, yeah, those good horses. And she got trounced. But get that out of your mind and look at that turf race where she broke her maiden there at Keeneland. Juan Saez, rest in peace, Juan Saez, you know, but rode such a great race, and the poor kid couldn't even pull that horse up after the race. She went around the track again, had so much energy.
She won by 6 lengths, you know, officially.
Yeah, and then I got her back to the dirt course, and she did a lap around the dirt course. He couldn't pull her up.
Distance shouldn't be a problem.
No, and I'm telling you, she's got a world of talent. Now she's back on the turf. I think the coach, of course, the coach thinks every horse he enters is going to win, but he was really thinking that horse would win on Breeders' Cup Day when they had to scratch her because she went nuts. So hopefully she behaves herself. That's my second choice. I'm going with those two on top. Might be crazy, but I think that's a race where you got to think crazy.
Lady Zuzu's, I mean, for what she's been through, 6-1 is actually a decent price. Cause, you know, you'd almost expect her to be higher.
Yeah, and she might end up being.
But yeah, I think, you know, she's definitely, if you want to call like she's definitely a wild card. That's in every sense of the word.
Oh, yeah.
A wild card. You talked about Cassie. I'll go with the other Cassie you mentioned, and that is number 7, Frosty Friday. Love the name, by the way. Mike Smith, of course, like you mentioned, they have a rider now. You know, he comes on board for the first time.
Right.
And, you know, Escondrea is a sire.
Couldn't get past that, could you?
I can't get past that. We talked about that earlier. I see that, and I say, okay, I'm sold.
Yeah.
Started her off on dirt, ran a decent third at Churchill Downs on 5 furlongs and moved her to a mile on the turf, and she looks like a beast.
She did look really good. Yep.
Did it really smooth. You know, numbers are going to suggest it wasn't too impressive, but I watched the race. I thought it was pretty good. I think she definitely has the ability to improve off of that. That was just in March.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that Mike Smith is riding her shows that, you know, she obviously shows a little talent here. And you're getting 6-1 on her as well. So I think, you know, a Lady Zuzu, Frosty Friday, and an old-fashioned gal,
Try box.
That might pay huge. And I'm telling you, this race, I can already tell you, this race is going to pay astronomical. So you've got to, if you're like one of those exotic players, you've got to play this race and go deep because it will pay. I guarantee you it pays.
I'm with you, 100%.
Let's move on to Keeneland. Finally, this is the first time of the year we get to talk Keeneland at the podcast.
Yep.
And we'll kick it off with race 6. This, of course, is the card of the Bluegrass race 6. The Madison Stakes is grade 1. Worth $350,000 for fillies and mares, 4-year-olds and up. Going 7 furlongs. And now, you know, we're talking dirt. This is dirt Keeneland. You know, that's what's so great about it. And, of course, they're having the Breeders' Cup there this year because of that. So it's so great to see all these horses showing up. It's dirt. We have no excuses anymore. Stop Charging Maria, 5-2, morning line favorite. Coming off a long layoff, but it is Stop Charging Maria.
We know we keep talking about old friends. This is a friend. You can't get any older than this gal. I mean, I remember when she won her 2 races at Saratoga, and I picked her both times, and I said, I hate this horse, you know, but I just can't beat her. And you would always go, oh, there's no way, you know, and she would win. So now she's back, and I'm going to do it again. And same reason, I just couldn't put my finger on another one to pick. So I'll take her off the layoff. I'll take Pletcher. I think Pletcher entering her in a grade 1 off a layoff, I think it's a great sign. I do think Sam's Sister is the other horse that's going to give her a challenge, but end of the day, I think she fires off the layoff and gets a win.
Oh, man. I went, because I give you shit so much.
So much last year.
Doesn't it feel like she is like 7 or 8 years old?
Oh, just because
of all the races she's ran. She's ran 11 races now. She's only 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this is the longest layoff she's ever come off of, obviously, besides her first start, which she finished second. But I went back and forth on this one because I wanted to not pick her because there's so many reasons not to, but, you know, Sam's Sister, I think, is the fear, and obviously getting Gary Stevens to ride now on Sam's Sister is scary in a good way, but stop charging Maria. The class is there, you know. Pletcher hits off like 25% off layoffs. He, you know, he has a 26% trainer on sprint. I mean, all his percentages are good, and she still has it. You know, she's still winning grade one races. There's no reason to think this is it. This is the shortest race that she's ran since September 1st of 2013.
Yeah.
This is, in fact, the shortest race she's ran since November of that year, which was at a mile. Everything else has been a mile 16th, a mile and an eighth, a mile and a quarter. I mean, this is a cutback in big time.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's going to, as you say, I think she's going to whistle.
Really? Mm-hmm. You think she's going to win big?
I think she's going to, we're going to be like, oh shit, watch out this year.
I think she'll look absolutely terrible and win like she always does.
I think she'll look good.
Even at Saratoga, I thought, God, she doesn't look like anything, but she wins. I don't think she whistles, but I do think she wins.
I think she wins.
Yep.
I think it's, it's not a single, but I think it's...
Wow, I can't believe you feel that strong.
And you know, I should say a lot because I'm a hater for her.
Yes, you are.
All right, let's move on to race 7, the Commonwealth Stakes. It's grade 3 worth $300,000 for 4-year-olds and up. 7 furlongs and another small field, but it doesn't lack the ability and the class. Number 2, Kobe's Back, who I have been a very big hater on. I know you have as well. Ran big last time. Bourbon Courage, who I absolutely hate.
Me too.
3-1.
Yep.
And number 7, CZ at 7-2. Those are your top 3. I'm picking outside of that, but I'll let you go first.
Yeah, I am too. And out of the 3 you mentioned, I will mention CZ. I think he's another one. He's kind of inconsistent, but I think he's coming into this race pretty good. Kobe's Back. I'm with you. Never been a fan. That last race is kind of scary, but you know, I think he's a favorite that you can play against. Bourbon Courage, totally hate. I'm agree with you on that. I went with number 4, Rocket Time, who's coming on off a little bit of a cutback here. Cutback to 7 furlongs. I kind of like that angle. You know, ran in the Essex, and I think he got a little tired, but I think if you get him out in front, 7 furlongs, let's get him a lead, I think he's going to be tough to beat. And, you know, Alstall knows how to spot him. I think Calvin Burrell is a pretty good fit for this horse. So I like him. I also like number 5, Jessica Starr, a little bit.
Yep.
To maybe pull a little bit of an upset. This is another one that's going to be cutting back. And I don't see that being a problem because this horse, when he ran 7 furlongs last time, won the race. So I think those two are two that could that kind of play the upset card here. And I would throw CZ in for 3rd.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I like a lot on this undercard, so I won't say for sure, but he is Rocket Time as well, I should say, is my pick. Rocket Time is certainly one of my top choices of the undercard.
Mm-hmm.
There's no speed in this race.
None.
Besides him.
Yep.
He's going to go out to the front 100%. Calvin, we know, Calvin's Calvin, but this is his rider. Mm-hmm. So he's very familiar with the horse. He's very familiar with getting out front. Mile 16th last time, the Essex you mentioned, finished a 5th, but, you know, was in front until got tired.
Yeah.
Prior to that, ran a mile at Fairgrounds, 1/2. You know, 7 a mile again, ran 1/2 at 7 furlongs, 1/2. And then prior to that, anytime this horse ran a mile or less, he wins.
Mm-hmm.
I love this play. He's 4/7 lifetime, and the 3 starts outside that were a mile 16th, a mile and 8th, and a mile 16th.
Which was too long. Yep.
I love the play. I think the horse is 5-1. I think it's a gift. If you get it, play it hard. Is proven to beat, has beaten horses that have come back. I like it. I just like the play.
Yeah. And I think last time, you know, he's owned by Frank Fletcher. And I think last time he just wanted to run him because he's from Arkansas. Maybe want to run him in Hot Springs.
Yeah.
But this is the right spot.
Especially nice the fact I think Kobe's Back is a threat personally just because I doubt him but he proves me wrong. Bourbon Courage I definitely dislike and CZ is okay but there's nothing in here that really scares me. So that's why I think Rocket Time has such a good chance here.
Yep.
at 5-1. I hope that money goes on Kobe's Back after that performance.
I think
last
it will.
Time out.
I think it will, don't you?
Especially shipping in. I think it will too. But yeah, Rocket Time. I love the play. Hopefully we get that price.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to race 8, the Shakertown Stakes, grade 3, worth $125,000 for 4-year-olds and up, 5.5 furlongs on the turf. So here we go. 5.5 on the turf, you know it gets wild. massive field of 13, and all the way to the 13 hole, undrafted, the Breeders' Cup horse, 5-2 morning line.
Yep.
Of course, owned by Wes Welker. And tied in touchdown, another horse from the Breeders' Cup that I believe, I'm pretty sure that was like one of my long shots of that race. Mm-hmm. 5-1 morning line. Then you have Power Alert at 7-2, and after that it kind of gets wild up front. But really the outside is showing that that's where your favorites are.
Well,
do you feel strongly about the outside?
I actually like 5.5 furlong races if you're drawn to the outside. I really do.
Okay, so you talked about, you kind of teased me on that earlier. Explain to me why.
Well, because you break from the outside and you see everything unfold in front of you.
There's no issues, no reason to get it, you know, concerns.
Now, if you break horrible in a 5.5 furlong race, you're kind of screwed wherever. But as long as you break well, you can kind of sit off everything. You're only going wide into one turn. It's only 5.5 furlong, so it's not like that's going to make a huge difference anyway. You know, I mean, if you go wide in a one-turn race, it's not as big deal if you go wide two turns into a two-turn race.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
You get to sit off there. You get to sit off all that speed. You get to watch it all unfold. And then you just make a burst at the top of the lane and hope you're good enough.
But he certainly has to be good enough. I mean, for all that what you said, he certainly has to be good enough.
I really don't. I mean, as long as he, I don't think the post position is going to cost him more than maybe a length. Really. I really don't. And I think he is going to be good enough. That's my pick. And like I say, I like that outside draw. I think if you're bogged down in one of those first four or five, you might get pinched, and you get pinched back, you're done.
Yeah.
You know, so I really like it. I think he steers clear of all the trouble. And he does just fine. So I did go 13 undrafted.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly is a classy horse, and you know, ran a really good third in the Breeders' Cup. You know, Bobby's Kitten, who ran huge that day, put up a good buyer as well. Here's the thing with him. It was a war, if you look at the stats, you know, hits at 21% off the layoff, but this horse, in you know, just doesn't tend to hit off, you know, run big off of layoffs, and you know, finishing third off a layoff, and then finishing another third off a layoff. You know, and I'm talking like, you know, decent amount of layoff. This horse is not raced in 5 months, so it's a little bit scary to me. I think he still runs well. I don't know if he'll quite run, you know, but it's 5.5 furlongs, you know. It's like, you just got to get out there.
Yeah.
Because I say that, Zebros number three, I know, it's like, Zebros, if you got to pick him enough, he'll win. Finally comes back. He's ran turf one time, one for one on turf, and just freaking smoked him on the turf. At where? Tell me what track it was.
Keeneland.
Keeneland. At what distance?
5.5.
5.5. Won by 5.25 that day. And, you know, they haven't been on turf since.
Right.
We've proven that shorter the distance, the faster he is. He ran his biggest buyer ever at 105 that day. 8-1 morning line. The coach is going to do it with Zebros. I feel strongly that Zebros is going to make a... He's finally going to get back to the winner's circle for the coach and for Team Zayat.
All right. I like that. I'll be rooting for him. I'll put him in some exactas tries, that kind of thing. I'm not going to put him on top,
though. Here's the great thing about Zebros.
There's a lot of great things.
Is you know he's going to go. You know he's going to go.
Oh, yeah.
You know he's going to be out front. So you're going to have the hope, at least for a portion of the race, where you're just like, come on, hold on. And then you just hope he holds. But it's 5.5 furlongs. I think he's got a great chance to. And 8-1 to me is a steal. I'll be honest with you. I think it's a great price.
As long as he shoots out of there and gets to that lead, he's going to have the shortest trip around the thing. There's no doubt about that. And I do like that he got Paco Lopez to ride.
He can ride.
Yeah, he can ride. And that's an upgrade probably from who he had last time. So I'm not going to mention any names there, but you can look it up if you need to look it up. I'm with you. I think he's going to run a pretty good race. I'm going to put him on top, though.
Okay. You're not crazy.
No.
Race 9, Central Bank Ashland Stakes, grade 1, worth $500,000. For Phillies, 3-year-olds going to mile 16th again. Here we go. Here's our Oaks preview. Field of 7 shows up here, and we've talked about a lot of these horses prior.
Yes.
You know, really, this is a very competitive field. You have Last of Mohicans, number 1, 4-1. Peace and War at 3-1. Angel Renee, the horse that was kind of believed to be the freak horse as a 2-year-old, 7-2 for Pletcher. Lovely Maria, 7-2 at the 6-hole. And then West Coast Bell for Catalano at 4-1. So, I mean, this is wide open as far as prices go. Who do you like?
Well, we talked about it off air. You know, Angela Renee is a horse we used to like. It's just you can't get behind her anymore, so I won't take her. I'm going with Lovely Maria, and this is a horse that we couldn't think of the name last week when we were talking about I'm a Chatterbox and how Jones was running Lovely Maria against her last time out,
yeah,
and how people had her favorite over I'm a Chatterbox. And she did run fine, you know, just got beat a couple of lengths in that last race. Lovely Maria did, and I think I'm a Chatterbox is one of the better horses for fillies in the country right now.
Well, I'm a Chatterbox came back to win last week.
Yep.
She ran very well.
Yeah, and won easily. I think Lovely Maria comes and really flatters that class. So I really like Lovely Maria. That's going to be my top pick. Interested to see if West Coast Belle can do any kind of running. I had some troubles at the fairgrounds of both her races. Maybe she just didn't like that track. I don't know. But Lovely Maria, that's going to be my top pick.
So let me ask you, because I know, I mean, if anybody, I know you really liked Angela Renee at one point. I mean, are you done? Are you off that? Just, I mean, because she hasn't won since Santa Anita back in, when was that?
Yeah,
September.
Yeah, prepping for the Breeders' Cup and the
Chevrolet
Delir. Really
close.
You know, she was on that Saturday of the Breeders' Cup. She was my best bet of the day. And of course, I was thrilled she lost because Take Charge Brandy won. But I wasn't thrilled with her at all. That was just a terrible performance. And she hasn't looked very good since. You know, got beat by Lovely Maria last time out. So I don't see any way that I can pick her, even though I, you know, you still would like to hope that she's got a little left, but I don't know. I think I'm done with her for now.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I actually picked Lovely Maria in that race that we talked about two times ago, when we were figuring out, and I went against I'm a Chatterbox. You went with I'm a Chatterbox. That was a smart move. but here we go, Lovely Maria, definitely flattered by the performance of I'm a Chatterbox last week.
Right.
And, you know, two links is what she got beat, 2.5 links. So, you know, that's pretty respectable from what we can have seen from I'm a Chatterbox. Very good horse. I think, you know, she certainly deserves to be in the category with that horse. And, you know, mile 16th, I don't see any issue with that. We know that's fine. And Larry Jones is, you know, what can you say? I don't necessarily love the trainer, but he knows how to train fillies. And yeah. 7-2, I'll play her all day long with that.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right, let's go to the main event, the Bluegrass Stakes. It's grade one with $1 million for 3-year-olds. Mile and eighth, and, you know, to one of the top, to some people, maybe the top horse in the country as far as 3-year-olds go, Carpe Diem, number 5 for Pletcher. John Velasquez riding your even money morning line favorite, and past that, 6-1 on Ocho Ocho Ocho, who I find it funny left California
mm-hmm.
to avoid Dortmund and runs into Carpe Diem.
Yeah, it's you know, Ocho Ocho Ocho, I'm not sure they've made one good decision since the Delta Downs jackpot. Hopefully, though, that he proves me wrong, because I do think he's a decent horse. I'm not sure he's a two-turn horse, so I think that's kind of maybe something we're really going to find out this weekend. But here's the deal. Carpe Diem, to me, is in a class by himself in this race. I think he wins easily. I am more concerned about second, because to me, there's three horses, let's say. Well, let's throw Ocho in as four horses that either kind of... they flopped. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
Last time out in Gorgeous Bird, who was the rage,
yeah,
and totally flopped. It was a non-effort. Ocho, same thing. He wasn't so much quote-unquote the rage, but he had a lot of steam in that race. And then the other two horses I was referring to, they didn't exactly flop, but Fermento kind of closed from out of the clouds in that race at Gulfstream. Is that really for real, or is this just a kind of a mirage and he's going to flop? I don't know. I'm interested to see him. And then Classy Class, who ran at Aqueduct and didn't run terribly, but I didn't think it was very good.
Pretty consistently okay.
Don't you think he's kind of he's the measuring stick here? Because do you think he's very good? I don't.
No.
But if he comes up here and maybe runs second against these horses, it shows that these horses suck.
And it certainly would help, you know, El Kabir, who's beat him twice.
True. So that wouldn't mean that El Kabir maybe could beat Carpe Diem, but it could mean that he's better than the rest of these.
Yeah.
That's another chunk that I could say, hey, I'm better than. So Carpe Diem, look for him to whistle, as you said earlier. I don't think it's going to be a problem, but the underneath is really where it gets interesting. I ended up taking Gorgeous Bird second. He can't be as bad as that last race. There's just no way. So I think he bounces back and finishes a good second. I think out of all of them, he's got the chance to pull the upset just yeah. because he's got to be better than what he was. So I put Gorgeous Bird second. I'm done with Ocho. And then I maybe Fermento third, but I'm not in love with him. But that's just how it is. But Carpe Diem, I think he's a single.
Here's the thing with Ocho. It's so frustrating. As you said it, you know, they've not made the right move with him. And he really, if you look at who he's, you know, he's beaten Far Right. He beat Mr. Z. He won three in a row to start his career, including back-to-back 100-plus buyers.
Yep.
Very solid horse, and really deserved to be one of the, you know, a pretty high prospect going into the campaign this year. And they laid off. They didn't do anything. And, you know, we've heard some rumors that he just isn't, something happened. They're not going to say it.
Yeah.
There's a reason why they didn't race for so long, and he's just not the same horse. And he definitely showed it last time. Now, was that just a kind of a comeback off, you know, like just wasn't there? I don't know. I really don't think so. And I can say it. He's on my fantasy team, and I'm not excited about it. I'm getting 1 point out of him this week, and that's it. Because I don't see him running big. I did pick him to beat Dortmund last time, because I thought, you know, surely
he'd come back. That was smart on your part.
Smart move. Finished 8th.
Beating 15.
Which might have been the last place, and I don't know how many were in that race that day.
No, in Santa Anita, it was probably 8.
Yeah, probably was it.
I think there was only 6, actually. Yeah. He still finished 8.
So, yeah, I'm off that. He'll probably win now. I've actually picked Gorgeous Bird in the Fountain of Youth. I think I picked him to upset.
Mm-hmm. Good pick.
So I'm really good at picking the horse like right after. So I'm guessing Carpe Diem will probably bounce.
Oh, I hope
not. Because that is my pick, Carpe Diem, who's finished, you know, 3-for-4 lifetime, including just Tampa Bay Whistle. and second to Texas Red in the juveniles. So that's really his only second. Mile and an eighth, of course, is the test. And I don't see Giants Causeway horse here.
He could pass. He should pass.
He should pass. Mm-hmm. So I have no way, but you know, Ocho, to me, you say Gorgeous Bird. Ocho is, to me, the wild card, because if there's a ceiling, Ocho's definitely hit a higher ceiling than Gorgeous Bird has.
Absolutely.
So if we see that horse, which I don't think we will, if we do, who knows? If Ocho comes out and wins this race or runs like a neck-to-neck with Carpe Diem and Carpe Diem kind of edges away, then you're like, okay.
Yeah, he's back.
He's back.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to go against him easily. Carpe Diem is going to just romp, I think. Carpe Diem is definitely Pletcher's number one.
No question. Yeah, no question.
Coming this year to a racetrack near you. The race is over. The horse lost. Now comes excuses. The ones that confuse us.
He finds the dirt too deep. But he just needs a very sound surface.
The ones that baffle us.
He didn't break very good. The horse next to me clipped heels. The same horse again. He got me twice.
The ones that we don't believe.
Unfortunately, you know, I don't know for any reason today it didn't show up. I don't know, maybe because it was hard today.
Excuses. You might find them at a racetrack, but at racingdudes.com, you'll just find great picks and great prices for horses. Log on today.
Oh my gosh. Oh, wow. Thank you, Ryan, for another great promo. I was dying laughing listening to that.
That's almost as good as California Chrome last week. It really was. It's so well done. And yeah, once again, Ryan comes through with just a hilarious promo for us.
It's so true.
Yeah.
You know? And this is the perfect time to play that because, you know, we're going to hear him this week.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to hear some excuses.
Yep. And those are some classic ones. There's no doubt about it. Some of those are just, of course, you can't understand them. Some of them, like the game we're going to play here in a minute. But, great stuff.
All right, let's talk about excuses. And let's move on to Aqueduct. And, of course, this is the wood card. So we've got we got that and the Carter card, really you could call it that, because it's not even technically the main race on the card. But we'll start with race 8, the Gazelle Stakes. It's a grade 2, We're $300,000 for Philly's three-year-old going a mile and eighth. And Phyllis 7 in this one, and 8-5 morning line favorite Condo Commando, who really has looked like a beast at Aqueduct.
Mm-hmm. I think she doesn't once again. I wouldn't go single because I don't know. I've got a feeling that the two sweet Corrine is going to run a pretty good race, but I mean she's got to be close to a single. Condo Commando for me. This looks so good. I just don't see anybody beating her.
You know, it's one of those things where I, of course, always am trying to look for prices and value, and I can't fault Condo Commando, really. No. In particular, at this track. I mean, it's just, she's very, very tough and has a race on the main track mm-hmm. here at Aqueduct.
Which is key.
And mind you, beat a couple by 11 lengths,
right.
Including Angela Renee, who we talked about earlier, but and prove that she can do it on the inside inside track as well. Last time out of mile 16th, so she's got a mile and an eighth, and she's got the main surface. So she's gonna be awful tough. 8-5. Rosario jumps back on after riding her one time before, which was on the main track.
Mm-hmm.
All signs point to a go. It would take a bounce for her to lose this race. She's one of those that is scary for people to bet because she just goes out to the front and she just runs.
Yep.
And you always fear that she's not gonna last. But she proved it in that grade two, that running a mile eighth at Aqueduct. And I think she does it again. I tried to find someone to beat her, and there's no one in here to me that is worth playing to try to beat her. So I think the only horse that I semi interested in is Sweet Corrine.
Yeah.
I mean, that last maiden race was impressive, but it's going to take a big-time performance to beat Condo Commando.
Yep.
All right, let's move on to race 9, the Bay Shore Stakes, grade 3. We're $300,000 for three-year-olds, going 7 furlongs. Field of 8 in this one, and 9-5. Morning line favorite, Ready to Ride, the number 3 horse, and Lord Nelson coming from Santa Anita, number 1, for Bob Baffert, 2-1. I mean, I like that play. They finally got smart. Okay, this is not a Derby horse.
Yeah.
But this horse can run short.
You know, is Rosario kind of the key to this this whole pick four sequence here with the graded stakes?
Because it seems like it, doesn't
it? Went with Lord Nelson again, so I go Rosario 2 in a row here. You know, it's hard for me to go against him because his last 7 furlong race, he beat Texas Red. So 7 furlongs, he's pretty damn good at. So I'm going to go him. I do think Ready for Rise is a horse you need to use. And Majestic Affair on the outside, I think that's a pretty nice horse at this distance, too. So, but yeah, I'm going to go Lord Nelson and Rosario now. Hopefully will be 2-for-2 after this race in the graded stakes.
I certainly think he's got a chance, too. Lord Nelson was going to be my pick. I love that Baffert is smart with the horse and understands, okay, he's not going to be a Derby horse, but... Mm-hmm. He could still, 7 furlongs, like you said, beat Texas Red. 6 furlongs, won by 6 lengths in the Speakeasy. And at 5 furlongs on his debut at Del Mar, won. So the horse is undefeated at anything at the sprint.
Mm-hmm.
Horse definitely deserves to be a 2-1. And I think it should be. I mean, I would definitely play that over Ready for Rye. But I actually did like Majestic Affair. And 6-1 morning line. Big thing here is Chad Brown. And I know he's, Chad Brown, maybe not necessarily he's known for being a very good turf trainer. Still a good trainer. And it really kind of got my attention that look who jumps on board, Castellano.
Yeah.
You got riders who, let's just be honest, know Castellano. Here he comes on board after the horse had finished, had won, let's see, 3 out of the last 5, including the other 2 were second places. This is certainly a step up.
Yeah.
But I think with a high percentage trainer and a high percentage jockey, that 6-1 is definitely going to be a play as far as value goes. But I definitely like Lord Nelson too. If I'm playing any kind of tournaments or anything like that, I think Majestic Affair is a good price to play, to get it some payouts. But Lord Nelson is going to be awful tough to beat up front.
Well, I'm telling you, if you beat Texas Red, going 7 furlongs, I know that's not his optimal distance, but that horse went on the outside, he dug in, and he beat him.
Yeah.
And I just think that's way better than anything he's going to face. So that's why I I went with him.
I think my issue with him, and I'm gonna kind of contradict myself here in a second, but
that's okay.
Yeah, that's okay. I mean, don't just if you it's stop, handicapping, if you stop, so. Yeah, exactly. You make up an excuse right now, and then you find another excuse for to work the other way,
later. Right?
But the trip from Santa Anita to New York is. I mean, I'm looking for an excuse there, basically, but yeah, that's my reasoning. All right, race 10, the Wood Memorial to grade 1, worth $1 million, 3 years old, mile and eighth. You know the drill. This is a Derby prep. El Kabir, who, you know, won the prep for this, 3-1, morning line, not favorite. Daredevil, 9-5, morning line, favorite. Oh my gosh, I cannot believe that horse is 9-5. Frosted, 5-2. And then you have, you know, El Kabir at 3-1, the third favorite in the Wood Memorial. Do you agree?
Do you think Daredevil has no chance to win this race?
I think he has. I think you have a better chance of winning this race.
Really? Yes. Than Daredevil?
Than Daredevil.
Explain why.
What? I mean, since the sloppy mile race at Belmont, that's what we're going off of?
Uh-huh.
That's it.
That's all
he's done. He won his maiden race, impressive, slop. He won the grade 1 champagne. Okay, I'll give that to him. It was a grade 1 slop. Mile 16th at the Breeders' Cup, nothing. And then the Swell, it was a grade 2 at 7 furlongs. Finished second for Ready for Rye, who I just said in the last race I'm not impressed with.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a good horse. I mean, I'm not saying like, but it's Castellano, it's Todd Pletcher at Aqueduct. That's why Daredevil is the morning line favorite. I don't understand why El Kabir, who's done nothing wrong in really 5 straight races, you know, finishing second or first in all of them, and won a very nice race last time in the Gotham, how is he the third favorite here?
Well, I'm going to go with number 6, Daredevil, as my top pick in this race. So
because it's Pletcher, right?
Well, that's a lot of it, and I think that was a really good prep race for him last time out. Going short, get his feet under him. I think if they didn't think he was going to run well, they wouldn't ship him here.
It's Todd Pletcher, though. I mean, you're going to run him in any kind of prep race to get him in.
I think he's going to win the race. I think he will break a little bit better. I think going a mile and eighth, he'll find himself on the lead. And I think he'll find himself, him and Frosted out there. And I think they're going to be tough to run down. I've kind of jumped off the Frosted bandwagon, so I'll go El Kabir to finish second. But yeah, I'm gonna go with Daredevil.
Well, I'm going El Kabir, so we'll flip-flop. Mm-hmm. I think Daredevil might run maybe third. But when I first heard, you know, there was rumors that he was going to run in the Arkansas Derby, Daredevil, I thought, well, shit, he's going to get smoked. Mm-hmm. And I still feel this. I think El Kabir is much better horse. It's a Todd Pletcher horse who had one big race in his career, and that's why he's 9-5.
Well, I'll say this. Last week we talked about Upstart and how I just could never get sold on him. And if you took Pletcher all 3 times against Upstart, you got 2 wins out of 3, right? So this time, if you take Pletcher all 3 times here at Aqueduct, you got 1 for 2 so far, because Far From Over won and El Kabir won. I'm going to play the same angle. I think you get 2 out of 3. I'm picking Daredevil.
Now, don't think this the total opposite way. I mean, it's Pletcher and it's a Derby prep race. This right. guy knows how to win these races. So if he wins, it's not like, oh, you're an idiot. I mean, Todd Pletcher is Todd Pletcher, and he puts these horses in these races because they find ways to win. I just have never been a big Daredevil fan, and I've never kind of believed that one race was enough to kind of make him, you know, a kind of a powerhouse. And I think that last race was okay. And, I mean, you know, it was a good number. But, you know, El Kabir's got the, you know, he's local. He's staying home. I really liked his race before we came off way off the pace. It showed some versatility. And, you know, the mile and eighth is going to be a lot of people's issue with El Kabir and if he can do it. So this will certainly be a test for him, and if not only the mile and eighth will work, but how will the mile and a quarter work?
Well, I think that's the mile and eighth might be a question for Daredevil too. I'm not sure if there's anybody in that race that wants a mile and eighth, and maybe that'll make the difference. But we'll see. I like
that. Might both be wrong. There might be some. You know, Frosted might get up and win.
Well, Frosted. The rumor with Frosted, he's had throat surgery since that last race, that was the big problem. And you know,
it's a good angle.
So, first off of surgery. I don't know, but That's a rumor. It's not a rumor. It's fact. But
we'll all see. Right, El Kabir and Daredevil. All right, let's go to race 11, which is actually another grade one. You don't ever really find that kind of situation where after like the main one, you have another grade one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a Carter handicap. It's the grade one, of course, $400,000 handicap, 4-year-olds and up, going 7 furlongs. Field of 8 in this one, and 5-2 morning line favorite. The Big Beast.
He's back.
Questioned that he might stay at Oakland. He's not. He's coming here to run in the Carter, which is worth a lot of money. And Wild Dude, who last won at Santa Anita, 3-1. And 4-1 on Clearly Now. Dad's Caps, the number one horse, is 7-2. So, yeah, a really tight group up front.
I'm going to go with Wild Dude. I thought, you know, he's looked awesome here lately. And he's one that he'll pop with a huge race. And then maybe he'll throw in a clunker. So, but I think he's doing just as good as ever. That last race was really something. So, I went with him on top. I'm actually going Palace second. I think Palace is a horse that just seems to run huge races, and I think he's one you just always have to respect. So I went with him second. Clearly Now actually is who I went with third. So we talk about the Big Beast, and he's the favorite, and I love the Big Beast, but I really like Clearly Now as well, and then I put the Big Beast fourth.
Oh, off the board of the Big Beast.
Yeah, and I mean, I would use him in any kind of multis, but yeah, I think he's got a shot to finish off.
Well, I think he definitely if Big Beast could win or he could finish off the board, and I don't know if I'd be surprised either way.
Mm-hmm.
I went with number 7 Wild Dude as well, 3-1, Holendorfer and Ortiz riding. The reason he obviously came off a grade 2 win at 7 furlongs at Santa Anita. But not only that, but, you know, beat Coey's back, beat Conquest 2-step. Race prior in the Palos Verdes at grade 2, he finished 3rd, but he also finished 3rd to Secret Circle, who obviously helped that cause as far as how that looks on Wild Dude. And Conquest 2-step, so they kind of traded punches there. But a very close 3rd. And then the race prior finished 2nd to Big Mocker, who came back to win. Great horse. This horse is just surrounded by quality horses. Mm-hmm. And it finally broke through last time and won after not winning since January. So, January 14th, 2014, I should say. Mm-hmm. So it was a little bit of a stretch. But always running good. Finally broke through. Now they ship him here. I think it's a perfect distance, perfect setup. And this is my contradiction. Here we go, from Santa Anita.
Right, and now you're picking this one.
But Holendorfer knows how to ship, Baffert doesn't.
That's really smart. That's a smart statement.
3-1, so that's my pick. We're green on that one.
Okay.
Let's head to Oakland real quick. We have one graded stakes race, and this course starts the festival of racing at Oakland, and we have 2 weeks of just solid racing, and this is the Fantasy Stakes Grade 9, so Grade 3. We're $400,000 for fillies, 3-year-olds, and they're going 1 mile and 16th. And you know, here we go. This is the every division has their day at Oakland for this festival of racing, and this is the one for the fillies, for the 3-year-old fillies. And you know, Pletcher brings one in here, and Feathered, 3-1 morning line favorite, very soft favorite. Anytime Pletcher comes in at 3-1, you know it's soft.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah Siss, who ran a really good race last time with Honeybee, at 7-2. And from there, you have a couple 5-1s. Ocean Wave at 5-1, who kind of had a rally in that last one as well. And Achiever's Legacy comes in at 5-1 as well. So Holendorfer brings another one in. This is a tough race for one that you almost seemingly think, okay, well, Pleasure brings one in. But this is a solid race. And Sarah Siss, man, he ran a huge one last time.
I had a hard time narrowing this down to just one horse. I will say Sarah Siss, I think, has a shot. Sweet Opportunity has a shot. Feathered has a shot. Super Sacks has a shot. Ocean Wave has a shot. It was tough. It came down between Sarah Siss, Feathered, and Ocean Wave. I went with Feathered. I just can't get it. I just think... I can't get it. I just can't convince myself Sarah Siss is a really good horse, and I think Feathered could come in here and outclass him. So that's who I went with. But, man, it's going to be tough. I'm going to go really, really deep in this race.
Yeah, I think so, because I think a horse like Sweet Opportunity for Donnie K, who's just super hot right now and 12-1, really, he ran two really good races in a row, including the win last time out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could make a case for her. Sarah Siss obviously ran a very nice one with Ocean Wave closing. You can make a case for Ocean Wave. Obviously, Feathered, who, you know, didn't look great last time out at 7 furlongs at Gulfstream, but, you know, mile 16th the last two races prior, both grade ones, actually 3 grade ones in a row, finishing no worse than a close fourth to take charge of Brandy in the Breeders' Cup race. So, I mean, she's definitely classier than anyone in here. And then you have a horse like Super Sax, who I at least have to mention because we both believe this horse, and I mean, we're not the only ones, has a ton of talent, and it's clear that she does. She, I mean, plain and simple, cannot rate.
No.
She can't rate. We're taking the blinkers off this time on her, so certainly expect to see at least maybe a different kind of race. I mean, last time, if you remember, in the Honey Bee, she was at one point in front, like, by 6-7 lengths.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, finishing eighth in a very, very distant eighth.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, she certainly has a talent, but I'm not picking her. I picked her last time and finished eighth. So. I'm actually going with Feathered as well, just because the class, it's plain and simple, it's Pletcher. I don't let Pletcher beat me at Oakland. And I know Sarah Siss ran a nice one last time, but there's not that horse in here that is classier than her.
Yeah.
And I think that 7 furlongs, I mean, clearly is not her distance. That was a race to come back off of the December layoff. Here we go, one more time, Santana on board. I'm taking Todd Pletcher at Oakland. All right, you heard it last week. We're kicking it off one more time. Time for another edition of What's the Jockey Saying? Of course, it's pretty clear what the game consists of. I'm going to play you audio clips, and you tell me what the jockey is saying. They're kind of known for somewhat hard to understand, especially after a race when they're all amped up, and whether it was good or bad. It's always tough to hear. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play you an audio clip. I got five. I think you went 5 or 6 last week.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
you had a high percentage.
4 for 5 or 5 for 6. I don't remember.
I think you only missed one. So here we go again. I'm gonna get 5 clips tonight. Are okay. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
I'll let you. You know, you can hear it again if you need.
Yeah,
but
I probably will just because I like to hear it.
It is pretty funny. We'll start off with clip number one. You ready?
I'm ready.
When I can. Just kind of fold it up, you know.
Okay, yeah, play that again. I didn't catch any of that.
Okay, let's try that one more time. Can you at least tell me what jockey it was?
Calvin Burrell.
When I asked him, just kind of fold it up, you know.
When I asked him, he just kind of folded up, you know.
Wow. Wow. I gotta give you, I mean, because that was labeled a hard one.
Oh, man.
I mean, I understand that you could probably got the first part, but folded up, you know, that's impressive.
Can I guess what horse it was on? Do you have that information?
I do have that.
Super Saver Preakness?
Bingo.
Bam.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, people.
That's
this guy,
how it starts.
This is why we brought him back for this show, because he's on fire.
Oh, man, that felt good. Get all that right out of the way, just like that.
No, and that, I have him labeled like semi-hard, easy, whatever. That was a hard one.
Well,
so.
Right, it helps when you watch the race that it happened.
Let's go number two.
Okay,
one for one.
Today, try to ride like how's he wrong, and thanks God he win the race.
Okay, I don't think you have to replay it. Today, I tried to ride him like how he run, and thank God I win the race.
Wow.
Man.
Can you tell me who it was and what race it was?
Play it again.
Today, try to ride like how's he wrong, and thanks God he win the race.
I don't know.
I'm kind of disappointed because this is one I feel like you should know.
Well, since you said that, maybe I'll take a stab at it.
Think about it.
I'm going to go with Luis Saez, Travers Day. We'll take charge.
Oh my God! Are you cheating?
No!
That's it. Luis Saez. We'll take charge.
Yeah. Next.
I don't understand this. This is...
Well...
We need to bring someone else on the show.
Okay, here's the deal. The first time when I listened to it, I was just trying to understand what he's saying. The key word on that was, try to ride him like he runs. I remember that because I remember saying during the race, he's a stalking horse. They always try to make him out to be a closer, and he wasn't. And Saez rode him. He stalked the pace. Like, mm-hmm. a lot of people get confused and think if you're stalking the pace, you're right up on it. No, stalking the pace is three or four lengths back. That's where he needed to run.
Right.
So, because he really, I'm not even into that. He really had a high cruising speed. And he wasn't a big closer. He was kind of a grinder. It's hard to grind from the back. You had to.
I'm so impressed.
Anyway,
right now.
Go ahead. We don't need to get into that.
Well, they're two for two.
Okay, let's do another one.
And if you count, like, I mean, I would almost give you a bonus point just for knowing not who said that. So, race three. If you say this, I quit.
Okay.
If you say, if you know what this is, ready?
Okay. She should deliver to the public today.
No, play it again.
She should deliver to the public today.
Something to the public today. Play it one more time.
She should deliver to the public today.
She showed something. She. It sounds like believe. Something to the public today. She showed.
She should deliver to the public today.
I don't. It's something to the public today, man. I'm gonna hate myself. I'm not gonna get this. She.
I'm not giving you credit. You lost someone, but you were right on the last bit.
Yeah.
She sure delivered to the public today.
Yeah, I never would have got that in a million years. No, that's not what he's saying.
Frankie D'Amore, Breeders' Cup Filly Mare on Ojibor.
No, I never would have got that.
Yeah, that one's a tough one. That was definitely a tough one.
I don't speak other languages.
I think, what is he, D'Amore? Is he French or something?
I don't know. I don't speak his language. I know that.
You don't speak, let's see. Cajun, Umbrelle, and what, Spanish probably on. Okay, so you just, those are your two. You're fluent in jockey talk, but not. Yeah. Okay.
Don't give me any more French ones.
All right, let's, this is not French. All right, let's go to the next clip. Remember, you're two for three.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I knew I had those. I just wanted to make sure that no one was getting through there.
Okay. Yeah, I knew I had room. I just wanted to make sure nobody was getting through there.
No.
No?
Not quite. I'll go one more time.
Okay.
Yeah, I knew I had those. I just wanted to make sure that no one was getting through there.
I don't know. Yeah, I knew I had blank. Just wanted to make sure nobody was getting through there.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Because I think what I came up with is, yeah, I knew I had those. I just wanted to make sure no one was getting through there. But I think that middle part is kind of, it's like you kind of come up with whatever you want to say.
You can interpret it however you want.
The last key, and that was Corey Nakatani. Do you have any guess on what race? Any idea?
Oh, no, I don't.
It was a Breeders' Cup Sprint on Thor's Echo.
No, I wouldn't have got that ever.
Well, I'll give you credit for at least the pigs.
Okay.
Three for four.
Three for four.
And we're going to start off with, or end this, I mean, with a new one. One we a new jockey.
Ooh.
One we haven't talked about
yet. Okay. He's not French, right?
No.
Okay.
Actually, American. Maybe Canadian. I'm not quite sure. But clear enough to where you should understand it.
Okay.
He's a pretty good rider, so to beat me, not too much. I think it's pretty good.
Chantel, wow.
Making the show, Chantel.
You used the word rider loosely on this one. No, go ahead, play it again.
He's a pretty good rider, so to beat me, not too much. I think it's pretty good.
He's a pretty good rider. He didn't beat me by too much. I think it was pretty good.
He's a pretty good rider, so to beat me, not too much. I think it's pretty good.
By beat me by not too good. Much, it's pretty good. Yeah.
That's right.
And this was Chantel probably after the match race between her and Mike Smith.
In what race?
Like the Battle of the Sexes, remember that? Or was it Game on Dude after she lost the Breeders' Cup?
Yes.
That one? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Breeders' Cup Classic 2010 when
yeah.
Mikey.
Yeah, Drosselmeyer beats Galen Dude.
She says he's a pretty good rider, so to beat me by not too much, I think it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Which kind of shows like, she's kind of like, well, you know, he's pretty good. So the fact that it was close is...
Yeah. Not to bring into account the Game on Dude's probably like three times better horse than Drosselmeyer, and I just lost. But
so there you go.
Yep.
You got that right. Four for five. Four for again. Five. You go, well, I think you missed one of both nights. So that's pretty solid. I mean, I feel like I'm going to have to step up the challenge.
You're going to have to get some old clips because I've heard a lot of these.
But, you know, I think they're fun to listen to again because it shows, even though you're pretty good at it, the first time first go around, there's at least a little bit in each one, and you're like, what did you, like, what? And honestly, I think the jockeys talk so fast, they don't know what they said.
No. I feel sorry for them because, you know, they're little guys anyway.
And girls.
And then these big reporters get up, and they kind of surround them, and they can't speak English really well anyway, and they're excited. They just got off a horse, and they're trying to make excuses as quick as they can, you know.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for them.
Well, that's all the time we have. Check us out at RacingDudes.com for our free picks and our simple plays. Available every weekend as well as every day for Aqueduct, Gulfstream, Oaklawn, Santa Anita, and guess what? Now Keeneland. Mm-hmm. Any more you're going to add to there? Belmont's coming.
Belmont will be here. Santa Anita will keep going. Churchill after Keeneland. Yeah.
We'll have some more.
If it's a big track, we're going to be covering it.
We also just launched a new product, Best Plays, Value Plays. That's been pretty successful. We've done really well. Today we hit the value play at Oaklawn. Mm-hmm. We had a best play at Gulfstream.
And we had the best value at Aqueduct.
And then I think it was on Saturday at Fairgrounds, we hit the best value and the best play that we gave out for that one. It's really proven to be a pretty good predictor on horses that are going to run good at prices and horses that should be heavy favorites and run like heavy favorites. So definitely check that out. And we've got exciting news. This is the first we've even announced it. We've got one more product that we're coming out with. And this one I'm more excited about, I think, than I've ever been since Simple Plays was introduced.
Yeah.
And this is called Race Plays. And what we've done is we've created a custom algorithm to predict best races to wager on each day. There's no handicapping done by us. We're not picking a race. We're not picking a favorite or picking favorite, a long shot. We're not handicapping at all. This is a simple algorithm that we've created. There's hundreds of races to go through each day. We understand, we've been asked by handicappers, can you help me find the races that I need to play? And this is what we've done. We've created a system, created an algorithm that predicts the best payouts every day.
Mm-hmm.
And we've proven massive results. This product stands alone in the industry. It's definitely the number one payout predictor. I think, off the top of my head, so far we've been tracking for a couple weeks. Average superfect has been a little over 6,000. The average try has been upward, I think, 600 to 700. It's insane. I mean, the payouts are astronomical. Mm-hmm. We're selecting anywhere from 5 to 15 races a day. Just depends on what it spits out and how many tracks are going. But that will be available tomorrow, Friday, and of course throughout the weekend. So make sure you check that out. $19.99. It's a price, but it's worth it because it helps you determine what races you should be focusing on. What races you as a handicapper who don't want our picks, but you want to know what races you need to be playing, helps you simplify and spend less time on handicapping races that you don't need to be handicapping.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And it's thing about it is, I don't know why we never thought of this. We actually, a friend of ours at Oaklawn, we saw him for the Rebel, and he's like, hey, I got an idea for you guys. And he was saying it, and it was like, wow. Why didn't we ever think of that? That's an awesome idea. So we're going to try to put it in motion this weekend. Is that the launch of tomorrow?
Hopefully tomorrow. Friday. So yeah. We'll see. It just kind of depends on what it spits out and how many we have. But it will be available at the very latest Saturday. We're also covering 20 tracks, all offering free picks, so check that out. We're on Twitter at @race_dudes, LinkedIn, Google+, Facebook. This is a huge weekend. Follow us, like us, do whatever. We'll be tweeting, Facebook, whatever, like crazy. I'm Jared Welch. He's Aaron Halton. Good luck this week. For all of your bets, racingdudes.com, as good as it gets.